And then we finally set our stuff down, and then we start the search. And that which was a clean house before is now one that has been turned upside down, looking for a little thing called keys. Now, I guess I'm just a little bit too proud to buy the little beeper thing. You know what I'm talking about? I'm a man. I can find my keys. And history would tell me that I'm a fool for thinking that, because I always lose my keys. Now, I don't know about y'all, but how many of y'all carry cell phones? I live in a spot where Sprint does not get reception. I will be in the most important conversation of my life. I will be on the phone with Dell Computers for 3 hours, and almost to the point where we are about to get it resolved. And what happens is this little beeping comes on, and it tells me the call was lost. Talk about frustrating. You see, we are in a two-part series, or a three-part series entitled Lost. And this second week, we're talking about search and rescue. And last week, our pastor so eloquently spoke about the coin, the cross, and the comeback, and how Jesus Christ laid the foundation for us to get off the island called lost. Galatians, the first chapter and the fourth verse said this: He died for our sins just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world, or the evil island in which we live. Our executive pastor, Jeremy Murphy, was telling us about this story about he and his wife going to Jamaica. And he, in this instance, was the key. He was lost. He was out on a scuba trip, and he was lost. And I can't tell the story quite like he can, so I've invited him to come and tell the story of how he got lost. Y'all give it up for Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you. We got to the resort. This is our 5th year anniversary. We've been saving up for a year and a half to go on this trip, and it was one of those resorts where everything's free. And don't you love those resorts? Well, of course, it's not free. They make you think everything's free, but you pay for it up front. So they had everything. They had parasailing. They had scuba diving. And so I got my scuba gear, and we got on the plane. And I won't tell you the part where I tried to get on the plane with the 9-inch dive knife. That didn't work real well. Don't try that. Anyway, so we got to Jamaica. We get in our hotel. The next morning, I went down to the pier, and there was this long, brand new 58-foot boat. I mean, we're talking brand new. This was a new resort, and I said, man, I can't believe this is free. This is so awesome. Now, how many of you know, when something's free, you better be careful, you know. You better be real careful what you get into. But I thought, well, this is safe. This is great. No problem. So I signed up for the next morning. The next morning comes around. I was so excited. I got there at 9 o'clock. And we got onto the boat, and there was me and a guy by the name of Bill. And Bill and I were the only two experienced divers on the trip. Now, there was about 18 other people on the boat, but they weren't experienced. They were getting certified. And I tell you, these Jamaicans, they'd be, oh, come on the boat, man. Oh, yeah, that's no problem. Come on. You know, these guys were just getting on the boat. I don't think they even knew how to swim, and they were getting certified to scuba. So we were a little nervous, and anyway, we get out to our destination. Let me tell you, it was a beautiful day. It was unbelievable. It was paradise. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. The coastline, it was all jungle, kind of looked like that. It was awesome, except without the words lost. And anyway, it was incredible. And we get out, and I mean, it's not real hot outside. And so we get our instructions. When we got to the dive spot, we dropped anchor, and the guys told us, they said, okay, now I want you to descend down the anchor line and wait for us at the bottom. And all these unexperienced divers, it's going to take them a while to sink down. So me and Bill are like, okay, all right, we'll wait. So we hop in the water, we descend down the anchor line, and we're just kind of chilling out there in the bottom waiting for everybody to come down. And finally we start to see, you know, after like 5 minutes, we start to see people descend down. So we are kind of impatient, so we just took off. As soon as we saw them, we just took off. Now, they had told us it's going to be a 20-minute dive, And after 20 minutes, everybody come up, and we're going to go back. No problem. The problem was me and Bill didn't have a watch. Problem number one. So anyway, we get going, and you know, we're a few hundred yards off the coast. I mean, we're not like right on the coast or anything. We're out there a pretty good ways, and we start finding all kinds of cool stuff. And finally, we thought, well, it's probably been about 20 minutes. You know, I mean, you know how it is. They're not going to leave us, surely. And so I had a problem with my mask, and I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and surface. So I told my buddy Bill through our little code language thing that I'm going to the top, you stay here. So I went to the top, cleared my mask, and thought I'd just get a visual on the boat, you know. just to see where, how far we had stranded off. And I look around. Coast. Coast. Beautiful coast. Gorgeous coast. Water. Ocean. There's not even a rowboat out there. There wasn't a life vest. There wasn't nothing. They were gone. Now, normally you hear the motors crank up, and I mean, you know, if you're getting lost or you're getting left, you usually can figure it out. We didn't hear nothing. It was gone. The next thing I know, I hear these guys, I hear these voices, and I'm floating out there. Now, let me tell you, all of a sudden, I went from feeling like I was the experienced diver on the trip, like I knew I was in control. I was all of a sudden, I went from feeling like that to feeling like shark bait real quick. I'm floating there, and there is, I am, you know, there is no feeling like, you know, realizing you are in the ocean alone. You know, I could just see some shark come flying around the corner. Lost diver. Lunch, you know, and, so anyway, I went back down, and I was doing the panic single, come up, to my friend Bill. So Bill comes up, and he's, like, laughing. He thinks I'm joking. And he takes his mask off, and he did the same thing that I just told you I did. I looked around, and, you know. And it's funny because I knew we were lost, but he didn't. So it was like this kind of moment where I got to watch him realize we were stranded in the ocean. It was pretty cool, actually. He freaked out. He completely, totally freaked out. And I laughed for a moment. Then we were both lost, and we both freaked out. So we're sitting there, and we hear these voices on the coast, and they were fishermen trying to get us, native fishermen trying to get us to come in. Now, what you have to realize is the coastline was jungle. There was no roads. There was nothing. It was just dense jungle from the coast, and we were 5 miles from our hotel. So we're trying to decide, do we swim back in? Do we walk back in the jungle? No, we're not going to do that. You know, our big fins, you know, how you doing? We're not going to do that. Or we could just swim back, and I thought I'd just take my chance with the sharks in Jamaica. So we started swimming back, and it was going to take us probably almost all day to swim. It was 4 mile down the coast, and we were going against the current. So we start swimming. We're like, man, my wife's going to freak out. Bill's like, my wife's going to freak out. Man, they're going to think we're dead. It's going to get nighttime, then it's going to get real scary. So finally, after 20 minutes of swimming, and we hear a boat. We're like, yes! I mean, we're taking off our dive gear. We're waving it in the air. We're trying to get their attention. And finally, after 30 minutes or so, we were rescued. So that's my Jamaica lost story.
See, I couldn't have done that. But I'm telling you, did you notice the people that were searching right before the awkward moment where no one knew what was happening? People came in with some flashlights, and they were looking in dark areas trying to find the voice that was lost. Now, how many of you ever feel like sometimes you have some lost areas on the inside, maybe some dark spots that you can say, you know what, if I'm real honest with myself, those places are lost. I feel kind of like Jeremy. I feel stranded with no hope, like I've been left behind. I have no place to go but either the jungle or the water, and either place is not very good. I feel sometimes like I'm lost. See, if you're like me, when I gave my heart to Christ, I was 18 years old. And it wasn't like this Star Trek faith where I went to an altar and I said, beam me up, God. You know? It didn't happen. I wasn't bewitched and I couldn't wiggle my nose and become like Christ right then in that moment. It was a journey. It started the journey. It started the walk. You hear people say, how's your walk with God going? And they're like, walk with God? I ain't walking with nobody. I'm walking by myself. No. It's a walk with God. It is a journey that we are going through. And sometimes we get lost along the way. See, the Apostle Paul, who wrote over two-thirds of this New Testament, he wrote to the Philippians and he said, work out your salvation. What does he mean? Does he mean that we have to work to receive salvation? No. See, Christ did that on the cross. He already did that. That work is complete. All we have to do is receive that. But he's saying is that there is a journey. Once you receive that, you have to walk it out day by day in your life. It's tough. He knew he had some lost areas. Here's what it says in Romans 7:15. Paul says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Have you ever been there before? Good intentions. Man, you are just supposed to do what's right. But all of a sudden, you're off track and you're doing what's wrong. See, Paul, I mean, he is a man of God. But he had some lost areas in his life. And the question that I have to pose for you today is, do you? Do you have some lost areas that still need to be searched and rescued? If you say yes, then join the club. Look to your neighbor and say, I am in need of a search and rescue. Come on here, everybody. This is participation. See, answering this question is the first step in the process. You have to see the lost areas in your life. For some, it's bitterness. For some, it's unforgiveness. And maybe you're sitting next to that person right now. Look to your spouse and say, I don't like you. And I need to see that right now. For others of you, maybe it's lust in your heart. Maybe it's a relationship that you probably shouldn't be in right now, youth. I've seen some of your boyfriends. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's rage. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's an eating disorder. Maybe it's self-mutilation. I don't know what your lost area is, but it's different for every single person. For me, I do have lost areas, and I'm not going to tell you right now what they are. It's not the right time. Maybe we can do lunch. You can take me to Perry's, and I'll tell you everything. But you got to take me to Perry's. I believe that there are stages in our journey. If you've started this journey with God, I believe that there are stages that you go through in your relationship with God. And we're going to briefly touch on four of these stages. The first two I just want to quickly mention. The first stage is the give me stage. How many of y'all been in this stage before where you ask God for things? You say, God, help me on this test. Please help me pass it. Ever been there? I was there. When you're an adult, God, just help me make rent. You know, help me. Help me, help me, help. Give me, God. And it's almost like we treat God as some sort of Santa Claus. And I'm not trying to be sacrilegious because God is telling us to explore this area. Matthew 7 tells us to ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. So it's something that we must explore in our relationship with God. But in and of itself, this give me stage is not the full capacity of your relationship with God. It's got to be built upon something else. Which leads us into the next stage, the use me stage. Everybody say, use me. Now, this is where we see that our life is much smaller than the grand scheme of things. We become unselfish and we ask God, really, make me a tool in your hand, God. This is where you see people start to get plugged into their local church. They start doing ministries. They start working with the missionettes. They start working with the Royal Rangers. They start working with the youth. Amen. Start asking, what can we do? This is the phase. And you see yourself in a whole new light. And can I be honest with you? 80% of the church has these two phases down. Hey, give me God. That is cool. Give me some stuff and use me. But if we stay here, we'll continue to be lost on an island. We'll continue to really not get the fullness of Christ because God says that he's got a life that's full of abundance, that's full of life. And we have to move into the search and rescue. 80% of the church has this down. But of that 80%, 80% of them do not have the next steps in their relationship with God down. And let's go ahead and view these. The next step that you have to cry out to God. And listen to this. It's these two simple words. Search me. Now that's hard. For a man, this is where we actually put the car in park. And we walk out and we say, I'm lost. Where do I go? How many of you have been in a convenience store and said, hey, dude, and you can't understand them? And my buddy Andy's back there. Yeah. And I can't understand. I don't know where I'm going, which way. This is where we drop the pride. This is the area where we drop our pride and our arrogance and all that kind of stuff. And we say, God, you have free reign in my life. Search me. I am vulnerable right now. I'm giving you free reign to release your angels with their flashlights into the dark areas of my life, into the skeletons in my closet where no one else knows. See, because I want to have a successful life, and a wise man once told me that the secret to a successful life is the success of your secret life. And if we allow God to search us, then what that does is it exposes our secret places, our dark areas, and it illuminates them with his light. But we got to be able to say, search me. We got to give God free rein in our life. See, this is the hardest place to be. See, because most people have the, hey, give me, that's cool. Use me, most definitely. Search me, whoa, I have my rights. God, you're going to need a warrant on this one. All right? My house, my life, it's mine. I will do for you. I will give money to your kingdom. I will do this. I will do that. But you want to search me? Whoa, stop. I don't think I can go there. And what happens is we get on the island called lost. And we stay there. We may come to church day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, 50 years. But we never increase in our relationship with God because we never allow him to bring his flashlights in and search us. See, so if you get nothing else today, learn these two words, search me, oh God. Well, that's four. I'm notorious for telling how many words and butchering that. Listen to what David says. David was considered a man after God's own heart. And David was most definitely not a perfect man. And how many of you could just link up with that and say, I'm not perfect either? Amen. I'm not perfect. But he had something down. He went past the 80% and he went into this realm of his relationship with God. Listen to what he says in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. Read along with me on the screen. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. He had this down. Man, David knew that there was something inside of him that was pulling him in another direction. It was leading him to this island called Lost. Kind of like Paul, he said, I do what I don't want to do, but I do what I don't want to do. If that made sense. If I got that right. And so what he's saying is here, God, test me, search me, make sure that there's nothing wrong inside of me. And look what it says. If you read this whole chapter of Psalms 139, verse 1 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. So what this means is this is not David's first time to say, search me, O God. If God had already searched him, then he said it before. And so what this means is that this statement, search me, O God, it needs to happen on a daily basis. It's something that you can write on your window. You can write and tape to your mirror. Put it on your steering wheel. Whatever you got to do, tattoo it on your arm. Tattoo it on your back. Whatever you need to do, write the word search me because you need to say it day in and day out. Because our tendency is to turn towards that which is lost. I'm always moving this way. If I'm not saying search me, God, there's a place in me that's going, whoa. Let's come back. And it's like pulling me. It's pulling me to the sensation of the sin nature, which I was good at. I was good at from 1 to 18. Ask my parents. I was a bad kid. I wasn't that bad. I had my moments. But there was something that I was good at. It was my sin nature. And when I started this journey with God, I was real close to my sin nature. I gave my heart to God, and I turned a different direction. And I started walking. And it was so easy just to turn around and be right back at lost. You know what I'm saying? I get in the sand and I just get all the carpet all dirty. For all you moms, you are so mad at me right now for getting this carpet dirty. But you have to understand these words, search me. What it does, it's like sending up the flare. It's like getting your scuba gear and waving it in the air. It's like writing help in the sand, hoping that the airplane will see something, the smoke that's coming up. When you say, search me, it allows God to bring in his troops. It allows him to release them into the island. And all the wild beasts, how many of y'all watch the show? All the beasts and everything. I don't watch it, but Jason gave me the CD, so I started trying to figure out what this whole lost thing is about. God comes in and he wipes out the enemies. He wipes out the other people. He wipes out all this kind of stuff. And he grabs you into his arms and he picks you up in a secure place. It's like his helicopter just helicopters you off the island and puts you on solid ground, and you become found when you say, search me. Say, search me. See, it's daily. It's these two little words that are key to your relationship with God and the success of your life. See, once God has searched you through his Holy Spirit, And he's put the light on the places that need to be tweaking. And how many of y'all know what I mean when I say tweaking? Let's just call it sin. That's what it is. Everybody deals with it. We can't escape it. It's here in this world. It's here in our lives. And when he exposes that, it puts a responsibility on us, which leads us to the next step. And these words, forgive me. Forgive me. See, I learned real quick when I was a young man and married at 21, I learned that these two words would get me some grace. I learned these two words were the success of my marriage. Gotta get an amen from men all over. Yes, dear, too. But forgive me was, for me, that was it. Because I was a mess up. I messed up everything in the beginning. I even threw a Christmas tree across the... Never mind. Telling my dirt on stage. Whew. But this is our responsibility, to ask God for forgiveness. If he exposes it and you've asked him to search you, then it's your responsibility to say, forgive me. Listen to what 1 John 1:9 says, and you probably all know it. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now listen, there's a key word in there, and it's the beginning word. It says if. There's an if clause in here. That if clause means that it's your responsibility. If you decide to confess your sins, if you decide to cry out to God, forgive me, then you will be rescued off this island called lost. If. But it's our responsibility. If we decide to really cry out to God and say, forgive me, then it's his ability to pull us off the island. Boom. Never to return. Unless we forget these words. See, because this is a daily thing. Write it down. Search me is number one. Forgive me is number two. And number three, it's this. Lead me. You see, I've always wondered, when I got saved, I always wondered why people left the church. And sometimes it's just for unreconcilable differences. I know that's a divorce term, but sometimes it's just that. But a lot of times I saw people leave the faith completely. And it burned me. It burdened my heart, because I was like, how can you do that? How can you walk away from the best thing in life? How can you walk away from the cross where Jesus hung for your sins? How can you do that? And over time, I found out that this is the reason. It's an issue of commitment. You see, I learned very quickly that this Christian faith doesn't work unless I work it to my full potential. Unless I have 100% total commitment, my life is really put on that. And it's not just because I live in preacher world. I've only lived here for like 7 months. I've only been full-time for seven. I lived in Exxon world. I was in normal people world. Not that I don't have problems, because I have a lot of lost areas. That's my wife. But commitment to say, lead me. See, that's it. This thing called Christianity only works when you do it 100% committed. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. It's not enough just to get off the island. It's not enough just to say, forgive me. The forgiveness should lead you in the footsteps of Christ. See, that forgiveness should push you to follow Christ. For you to say, lead me, is for you to follow Christ. When Christ picked his disciples and he picked them off the boat and he picked them out of the tax collector bin, he picked them out of the tree and all this kind of stuff, what he would say to them is he'd say, follow me. In essence, what he's saying is, hey, if you come with me, I'll lead you. It's not enough just to say, oh God, hey, I do have some lost things, forgive me. And because God never called us just to go on a weekend retreat with him and then come back and hope to remember what he did. He didn't call us to just put a t-shirt on that says, I love Jesus, and then take it off, wash it, and wear it every day, like some of our youth do. He didn't call us just to come with him just for a little bit, and then hopefully get something out of it, and then come back. He said, follow me. Don't look to the left or right. Don't turn back. Follow me. You see, here's what Christ is saying to us, Luke 9. It says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. And what? Follow me. We have to learn how to say, God, lead me. Once I'm off the island, I don't want to go back. Because my tendency is to go back. I know that footstep very well. But I need you to lead me in a new direction, a place that I don't know. And so what Christ has done is he has laid the footsteps here and there. And if we just follow them and go here and go there, then it leads to a place called our destiny. It leads to a place that makes us more like him. And that's our goal. That's what we have to do to stay off the island. We have to say, search me, number one. We have to say, forgive me, number two. And number three, we have to say, lead me. Which brings us to number four, my final point at 12:01. I know you're looking. And that is, make me. Oh God, make me. And this is the fourth aspect of our relationship with God. You have the give me stage. You have the use me stage. You have the search me stage. And then you have the make me stage. And this, guys, is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we flip on the switch. And we say, oh God, I'm going to live with a lights on mentality. I'm going to let the light shine in my heart. I'm not just going to give you ample, that's a bad word. I'm not going to give you permission just to use a flashlight here and there. I'm going to live with the lights on. I'm going to live like you are there 24/7. I want to be more like you. I don't just want to know about you. I want to be like you. And you know what? Here, this is where so many misconceptions go, oh, Christians, they're all the same. You know, they just want to be like Christ. You know what? I have a personality, okay? Our pastor has a personality. Wouldn't you agree? It's the best person. I mean, that's my spiritual hero. If there's a man that I wanted to be like, I wanted to be like my pastor. That's what made me want to be a preacher. You know what I'm saying? That's what made me want to be a youth pastor. I wanted to be like him because he was being made like Christ. He was following in the footsteps of Christ. But you know what? He just wasn't this robot. You know, must serve Christ. No. Please bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to take communion. No, man, he had a personality. And when you cry out, make me, it's not that you lose your personality. You gain the character of Christ. And character goes deep. Character goes straight to the core of who you are. It allows you to make right decisions. And so you start doing that. I still have the personality that I had when I was the drunk in high school. I still have that same personality that says, I'm the one that's getting the keg. I'm the one that's going to be the life of the party. You know what? When Christ saved me, he said, you know what? Now you're going to be the life of the party at the church. Just as you were, so now you will be. And I had to say to myself, God, make me. And I'm still learning this aspect. Make me, because I'm not complete. I still have lost areas in my life. Coming back to a man that I love in the Bible, Paul, quite literally knew what it meant to be lost. He said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. Read along with me. It's on the screen. Should be. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing. Everybody say sharing in his sufferings. Becoming like him in death and so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this. And thank God he hasn't and neither have I. So I'm feeling like I'm in good company. Or already have been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, not only did he want to know him, but he wanted to share in his life. He wanted to not just walk in his footsteps and be led, but he wanted to get in his shoes and understand who he was and become more like him. To fellowship in his suffering and even in his death so that one day he could share in his resurrection. This is where we have to come. And I'm going to leave you with this final thought because this is my favorite scripture in probably the entire Bible. It says this in verse 14. Well, let's start and back up at 13. It says, one thing I do, I forget what is behind, which is that. I forget my lost areas. I forget about them because I've done the steps. I've cried out, search me. I've cried out, forgive me. God, lead me. I forget what is behind, and I strain towards what is ahead. And if there's one thing that you can leave here today with, is that forget what is behind. Forget all the things that have brought you down, that has caused you to be at the place and the circumstance you might be in. And turn it around. Cry out to God, search me. Cry out to God, forgive me. Cry out to God, lead me. And cry out to him, make me. And turn and forget what is behind and press on towards the goal. What's the goal? It's to be like him. It's to be Christ-like. And that's the key word in make me. It's to be more like Christ. That's our goal. And that's what we're sticking to here at this church. I want to live in a new place. You know, I'm tired of being lost. I'm tired of my phone calls giving me lost signals. I'm tired of losing my keys. I know some of you are organized people and you're saying, well, just have a place that you drop your keys in. Have a key ring. That's what we do at our house, and you should do it at church. We don't do it that way. We like it the hard way. We like the daily fight. No, it's you. It's you. But if there's something that you can take from today, it's just eight words. Just eight. Eight words. I promise this is eight words. Search me. Forgive me. Lead me. And make me. Remember these words. Write them on your heart. Write them on your mind. Write them on, tattoo them on your body. It's okay. As long as it's these words. I'm joking, for those of you that are listening on the internet. Allow God to shine his wonderful light into your life. Allow him to do what he does best. When you cry out, search me, he comes. When you cry out, forgive me, he rescues. And he rescues you so that he can lead you and make you into something that's great. Bow your heads. God, show us where we're not making it. God, search us. And Lord, forgive us where we fall. And Lord, more than anything, it's the desire of our heart, God, to be 100% totally committed to you. God, to say, lead us. And more importantly, make us. God, more than anything, just do your thing. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, I'm going to ask you a question, and that is, do you know Christ? Do you know Christ in such a way where you have started the journey of walking towards the light? Do you know him? With eyes closed and heads bowed, I want to give you a chance. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to make him that today, get off this island called lost, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're at. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. One, because you want to. Two, because you know it's right. Three, lift up your hands if you need Christ in your life. Thank you. Now we're going to bring the altar to you. You know Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know deep inside that there are lost areas. We're going to bring the altar to you because today I want you to cry out with an abundance in your heart. The word, search me. Go ahead, right now, right where you're at, ask God to search you. And ask him to shed light on those lost areas. And allow him to pick you up, put you in his arms, and make you right all over again. It's a journey. And this process can be done daily. Daily. Day after day. Week after week. Month after month. Because he said so. God, we are so thankful that you come when we're lost. God, whether it's financially, God, whether it's relationally, God, whether it's a disease, whether it's sickness, God, when we're lost, it is you that come and rescue us. Thank you for searching for me. God, with all the billions of people, thank you so much for looking at me, something that was lost, and saying, I will find that. We're so grateful and we're so thankful that you searched and you rescued our hearts. And we are so committed to living for you. For it's in your Son's precious and holy name we pray. And everybody said, right? God bless you, Pastor.
Haven't you enjoyed the ministry of our youth pastor this morning, Clint DeGroote? Would you just thank him and bless him? This morning we've had opportunity to just remember as believers how important it is to, on a daily basis, rededicate ourselves to the journey. And I appreciate so much how you said that and what you said this morning. And beyond all of that, it's the heart and the passion of God in you that leads our church forward. And I just bless our youth ministry and our young people and thank God for them. And this morning, as we're highlighting ministry, let's just say to our softball team again how much we appreciate their hard work and our new trophy. As we conclude today, I'd like to just say how proud I was of our women's ministries yesterday. Over 90 ladies were here yesterday doing the spring thing. Fling. Ring. Spring ring. Whatever your spring thing is, we were here doing it. And it was just a tremendous day of ladies ministering to each other under the direction of Dean Ledford and her committee of ladies. What a beautiful day of celebrating God's love in our hearts. Can you say thank you to the women's ministry here at Dominion Church? It was a powerful day. And this morning they have come probably with all kinds of new perfumes on and all kinds of things for spring. If you would stand to your feet this morning and would you just celebrate each other, and as you're leaving, would you remind each other that the world is a better place because you're in it. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.